Alright, so today you are playing with fire. So as soon as I shut up, you need to put goggles on and keep them on the whole time you're here. Also, you should realize that a flame can be on one of these burners and not highly visible. So be careful. Don't put a burning burner under the shelf, by the way. Someone did that right here. But more importantly, do not lean over it. Your hair will go up very easily. What we're doing today, though, is a process called calorimetry. The word indicates that it's a measurement technique. That's what the metry part means. Calor means heat. But it more generally refers to energy, not just heat. Calorimetry specifically is a technique, and there's various techniques of calorimetry, but calorimetry in general is measurement of the energy content of some sample. Now, in most of the cases today, your samples are food items, but it can be anything. And I want you to realize that, because a lot of times we use the word calorie as though it applies only to food. Calorie is just a unit of energy. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You said that is the measure
of energy. The calorimetry is the measurement of the amount of energy contained in some sort of sample that you're measuring. The sample could be a piece of food like you're doing today. It could be an entire animal, like a laboratory rat, whatever. All right, now there are different kinds of calorimetry. What we're doing is a very crude technique. I'll describe a much more accurate technique that does the same thing that we're doing today in a bit. But first I need to tell you about the unit called a calorie, which is not the same thing as calorimetry. They share that root. But a calorie is a unit. Calorimetry is a technique. And this is an embarrassing episode within science that I'm about to describe. One of the stupidest things in science I've ever heard of. And that's because there are two different units in science, one of which is the calorie, and the other of which is the calorie. Now, the reason, if you're listening to this recording, that you didn't hear any difference is that there is no difference in the pronunciation or the spelling. The only difference is that the second one uses a capital C and the first one uses a lowercase c. This is why it's so stupid. They are different units with different sizes. So a calorie with a lowercase c does not equal a calorie with an uppercase C. An uppercase C calorie is actually equal to 1,000 lowercase c's, which of course is the same as 1 kilocalorie. More on that later, but I just want to warn you about that stupidity. The lowercase c is what's used in science. So if I say a scientific calorie, that's what I mean. But let me actually define calorie, lowercase calorie. The calorie, which is a unit of energy, and therefore doesn't necessarily have anything to do with food. It's just that food contains energy. But anyway, the calorie is based on the specific heat capacity of water. 1 calorie is the amount of energy required to raise the temperature of exactly 1 gram of pure water by exactly 1 Kelvin or 1 Celsius degree. They're both the same size. All right? The amount of energy required to raise 1 gram of pure water by 1 Celsius degree. In other words, that's just really another way of saying that the specific heat capacity of water is 1 calorie per gram. Remember, I defined specific heat capacity in a different unit? It's the amount of energy required to raise the temperature of a substance by a certain amount. Well, the specific heat capacity of water is exactly 1 calorie per gram of pure water. Now, speaking of a gram, if you have pure water, the gram, if you're using grams, that's the mass. But if you have a mass of 1 gram of water, how much volume does that occupy? Conveniently and intentionally, exactly 1 gram of water occupies a volume of exactly 1 milliliter. How big is a milliliter? Well, this is also nice within the metric system that it's all defined this way. A milliliter, if you have it as a perfect cube, is exactly 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter, which is, well, there's different sized dice, but a typical gaming dice die is close to that. So that space filled up with pure water is 1 milliliter in volume and would have a mass of 1 gram. And if you use 1 scientific calorie to heat it up, it will heat it up exactly 1 degree centigrade or 1 Kelvin. So all that makes sense? Okay, that is an important definition because it's the basis for the kind of calorimetry you're doing today. You're going to determine the energy content of your samples by burning your samples, which of course releases energy from the samples, and you're going to hopefully capture that energy by heating water with the flame that results when you're burning your sample. The energy comes from the food and goes into the water. And as long as you carefully measure the volume and therefore the mass of the water, you can use the definition of the calorie as I just gave it to you to figure out how many calories were in the food, or at least the amount of food that you burned. And therefore you can calculate calories per gram of sample. That's your actual end goal, is to figure out how many calories per gram are in each of your samples. Now, most of those samples are food, although don't eat them because there's no eating in the lab, but also because they've been highly fingered. You don't want to eat them. But one of them is not a stick. I mean, you can eat the stick, but for reasons I described upstairs, you're not going to get any nutritive value out of it, right? So, if we sold sticks as food, the food label would say it doesn't have any calories, which is a lie. It does, it just doesn't have any nutritional calories because we can't break the cellulose down to get the energy out of it. But it'll still burn, right? Wood burns well. So it's chock full of calories, just not nutritional calories. Okay, now, all those uses of the word calorie that I just gave you were the lowercase c. That's enough for raising 1 gram of water 1 centigrade degree. When we talk about food calories, even though we say calorie, what we're really referring to is a kilocalorie. A food calorie is an uppercase C. Okay, so that's 1,000 times as much as a lowercase calorie. And, you know, food labels will typically say that an average adult male human should have roughly an intake of 2,000 calories per day. That's 2,000 food calories. 2,000 kilocalories is 2 million calories per day. Now think about that in terms of heat. The amount of food that an average adult male takes in as 2,000 calories, food calories, that's enough. You can think of it either of two ways. That's enough energy to raise the temperature of 2 million milliliters of water, 2 million grams, which would be 2,000 liters, 2,000 liter bottles full of water, by a whole degree. And that's a big amount of water. Water is really hard to heat. So that's just one daily intake. Or you could think of it as the amount of energy to raise 1 gram of water 2 million degrees centigrade, which obviously it wouldn't get that hot, it would evaporate, but that's the amount of energy we're talking about. Okay, so always be aware of this. Thankfully, science has realized it made a terrible mistake, and even though this uppercase C one was not so much for pure scientists as nutritionists, they realize that's a bad idea. So now modern food labels tend not to use this word. Instead, they'll list it as kilocalories, which is correct. Now anyway, back to this idea of this being a very crude method. It's very crude because you're not going to come close to capturing every bit of energy that's released into the water, right? For one thing, you'll see the flame. That's energy in itself. Otherwise, you wouldn't see it. So that's not going into the water. You might hear it crackle. That's energy. Plus, you know, you have your burner here. You ignite the food. Then it takes some amount of time to get it over under the water. All of that's just wasted into the air. And then even when you do have it under the water, only some of that is actually heating the water up. The rest of it's heating the air around it. So what you're going to get are going to be very low estimates, actually. And if you were to compare what you compute today to a food label, you should expect the food label to be much higher values. Not because you did anything wrong, but because there's no way you can capture all the energy in this crude way. That's why there's a much better way of doing this. We're not going to do it in here. But a better technique is specifically called bomb calorimetry. Highly refined compared to how we're doing it. It's still calorimetry for the same reason, though. You're burning a sample and measuring the amount of change in temperature of the water. It's called bomb calorimetry because the vessel that you put your sample in could be anything. Like I say, you could grind up a rat and figure out what the energy content of the entire body. But whatever the sample is, you put it in this stainless steel cylinder that looks kind of like a little bomb. Screw on the lid tightly, and your sample's inside. Has very thick wall, stainless steel walls. So it's not going to explode like a bomb. It'll hold in the pressure. But after you load the sample, you pump several atmospheres of pure oxygen into it. So not only will it burn, it's going to burn immediately because there's way more oxygen than in the atmosphere, than in the air. And that's what burning is. It's combustion. It's the reaction of a fuel, which is your sample, with oxygen. All right? Because there's so much oxygen available in the bomb, and this is fitted with electrodes so you can spark it once you're ready. That spark is going to cause an explosive reaction. All of this sample is going to burn immediately and there's only going to be ash left inside? Well, the reason this works so well is because we don't just have the bomb out in the open. We have the bomb in a tank full of water, completely submerged in the water. We know, and it's pure water, we know exactly how much water there is, how many grams. And when we ignite it, the energy that comes from the sample has no choice but to heat up the water. It heats up the bomb itself, which then heats the water up. There is no way that the energy can escape. And therefore, you just very carefully in this device measure the change in water temperature, and you can compute how many calories must have been released. You're doing the same thing. What you're directly measuring is a change in temperature. So you have to get a good beginning temperature and a good ending temperature. And by knowing how many grams of water you used and how much it changes, you can figure out how many calories have been released by the sample. Okay, so it's pretty straightforward. It doesn't take all that long to do either. But I want you to do this right. So over here are your samples. Don't ignore this sign. This is where your dirty test tubes go today. They'll be black. Don't worry about it. They're burned. Just put them here. Don't try to clean them up. And the fresh test tubes are here if you need more. But you have this ring stand set up with your thermometer. And a couple important things about the thermometer are that it doesn't immediately give you the reading. If the temperature has changed in what you have the thermometer stuck in, it takes a little bit of time for the thermometer to react. So keep an eye on the thermometer, and when it has stabilized, write that temperature down. You have to do that before and after burning. If it's still rising after your fire has gone out, or if you've blown it out, if it's still rising, let it continue to rise until it doesn't anymore, and then that's your final reading. But also, when you set this up, it takes a little bit of patience to set it up, because these things can twist and turn in different ways. But you need to put your test tube with water in it in this bottom clamp in such a way that the bulb of the thermometer is completely submerged in the water, but not touching glass at all. On the bottom especially, but not on the sides either. So these things swivel, which is how you can adjust. Okay, just play with it a little bit. It's easy to forget, though, that if you let go of the tube, it'll just fall onto the metal platform and break. So be careful with that. Anyway, that's how you set that up. Okay, now the more important thing is that when you burn these samples, unlike the bomb calorimetry, you're not going to completely burn them. They'll go out. Most of them will just go out and not and stop burning. And even if they do continue to burn, they're not going to completely burn in the atmosphere like in a bomb. Which means some, but not all, of your sample will burn. What you care about, though, is how much did burn, because only the part of your sample that burned can be used in your calculation of calories per gram. It's calories per gram burned, not calories per gram that you lit. You see what I'm saying there? That means you need careful before and after mass measurements. Now, when you burn your samples, which you're doing by holding the sample in the tongs underneath the test tube of water, it's going to be burning, and some of them, depending on what you use, especially the sugary stuff, will drip while it's burning. That's why before you light any sample, since you don't want it dripping onto the table, not for cleanliness reasons, but because there's no way that you can get all of that off of the table to weigh it, that means you need to first, before you start burning, put a piece of foil down on the platform so that anything that does drip, drips onto the foil. That way you can take the piece of foil when you're done and weigh it and figure out how much is still there as food. But only if you used that same piece of foil first and got a mass of it and the food together. So here's the proper way of doing this. You take a piece of foil. You don't really care so much about what the foil by itself weighs. But you take the foil and the sample after you have zeroed the scales. Zero the scale, take the foil and the sample and get a beginning mass. Write that down in a table that says also what the sample is, because you have a different sample for each one. You're going to use a different piece of foil each time. Take that foil with you to your station and put it down to hold the drips. Not another piece of foil, because it'll be a different mass. Mm-hmm. Then you burn it. You don't care that it drips. And whatever doesn't burn, whether because it went out or because you blew it out to stop it, put what's left on that same piece of foil and get a final mass after you zero it of not just the food, but the food and the foil. Then when you subtract the two, the foil mass will subtract out. And the only thing that you're getting a difference in mass of is the food itself. You'll have less mass later because some of it burned. You're losing some of it. It gets turned into CO2 and water in the combustion reaction. That's the part that you use. The amount that actually was lost in grams is what you divide your calories by to get calories per gram. Okay? There's sample. There's instructions for how to do those calculations in the manual. Now, you want a careful measurement of water. You have to know the volume of the water, right? Because a bigger amount of water with the same amount of energy in it is not going to change in temperature as much. A calorie doesn't heat up the ocean 1 degree. It heats up specifically 1 gram. So you need to know how many grams you have, or milliliters, which is corresponds to grams. So that's one thing. But also, even though you could keep using the same water, which you carefully measured the first time, you don't want to do that. You want to start with fresh water each time, not because of freshness, but because you want to start with cool water each time and get a starting temperature each time. Don't assume that all the starting water is going to be the same temperature. Measure it each time and write it down. Here's why you don't want to use water that's already heated up. If you heat up water, it's going to rise in temperature. This is temperature versus time. It's going to heat up, right? It's going to rise in temperature, but only until it hits boiling. When it hits boiling, you're still putting energy in it, but the temperature doesn't change. Instead, it's just changing from liquid to gas. All right? Well, if you measure the temperature here and here, that's a false reading, right? Anywhere in this plateau is going to be false. You need to make two measurements while it's still heating up, before it boils. That's why the manual tells you to blow out your sample if your temperature gets close enough to boiling. What is the maximum temperature allowed? 80? Okay, so you need to keep your eye on the thermometer the whole time it's burning, too. If it hits 80, blow it out. Like I said, it doesn't matter that it doesn't all burn. You're going to measure what did burn by getting the difference in masses. And then each time, start with fresh, cool water again, carefully measured in temperature and volume. Any questions? Loke it up. Put on your goggles.